Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody this morning? Full? Tired of turkey already? Let's take just a few minutes, and if you haven't already, stand up and greet your neighbors and introduce yourself to somebody that maybe you don't know or haven't seen in a while. Glad to have everyone with us this morning. Do we have any visitors this morning? I know we have one.
Bill Middleton, he is here to speak about Gideon. We haven't had a Gideon speaker in some time, so we welcome him. He will be at the rear of the church, behind the congregation, I guess. If we can confront him, he's in the rear. It's always a puzzle to me. With the, if you have a gift given to Gideon, you may do so, or you may just greet.
Any other visitors? Anybody looks familiar? All right, any announcements? I know Pam has one. Been to any of their concerts before, it is absolutely beautiful, some great talent, so please be sure and make plans to attend. Excuse me, any other announcements?
It is elder election time. We have three nominees listed in the
announcement section of the bulletin, and we will take additional nominees from the board next Sunday, if there are any, and also we will have the election on the second Sunday in December, and we also, Charlie, you may can tell me, or Ed, one of those Sundays we have the congregational meeting for the corporation. Is that the first or the second? We forget. But we'll know and be ready. It's really basically a housekeeping duty to make you stay happy. Thank you.
I don't know if the registration they have been passed out. So if everybody would please be sure and register your attendance this morning. It's time for prayer and praise requests. Adrian, she's leaving for Iraq on Monday. Worship this morning is responsive. It may be found in your bulletin. The Lord is a great God who says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest. Day and night around the throne they never stop singing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come.
Let's all stand for a moment to hymn 10, please. Oh, worship the King.
Thank you. pray, Lord God, your call speaks of a future time when we'll be around your throne, but we want to begin even now. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Lord God, we come before you, a holy God, and we come as unholy beings, but we come trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ. And though our lives are spotted and stained, he has made us clean and able to appear before you. So we come as your humble people with thanksgiving that you would desire that we would come before you, with thankfulness that you would send your Son to pay the penalty of our sin, that we could be made whole through our faith in him. We come worshiping, we come praising, and we come to say, holy, holy, holy are you, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z. Lord, speak to us and enable us to bring glory to you by the singing, by the proclaiming, by the hearing, and by the response. In Jesus' name we pray, praying now as he taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we express our faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Governor of Sumatra called and said, "Don't go out tomorrow and make distributions because we received threats on your lives. Please gather your belongings and go home." Well, 5 o'clock the next morning, after prayer, we gathered our belongings and our scriptures, and we went ahead and made the distributions that we had promised that we would make the next day. We had promised the prisons and schools and hospitals, and we were coming that next day to make those distributions. And sure enough, as we went out, we found that at the end of that day, we had made more distributions in that one single day, the last day that we were in this area of Indonesia, than we had made the previous 5 days that we were there. We were really out going and doing the work that we were sent there to do. Well, as that morning, as I loaded up and I found out my assignment was going to rural areas of Indonesia and out into the jungles, and I was with a translator, and I was also with a Muslim driver, and we headed in. I had no idea where I was going or what I was going to see, but I knew that we had a job to do, and I was looking forward to doing that. Well, our job was to go to out into these rural areas and to find these schools that only the driver knew where they were located. And we drove from place to place, went into the schools, and what a welcome that we had. As we would go to the schools, we found that they didn't have any Bibles. We also found out they didn't have any books. Most of the schools over there are so poor that they do not have books. In fact, most of their lessons are mimeographed on pieces of paper, and they pass those papers out. They get smudges and they get torn and things like that, but they have to turn them back in again so another class can use those same pieces of paper. Can you imagine coming into this area? And with a translator, we're offering each one of these students a free copy of God's Word. Actually, to them, it's a book. It's their own personal book. To us, it's the very precious Word of God. Can you imagine that this child receives this Bible, takes it home, it's in their native language, they can read and understand it, and they take it home. In some cases, that is the only book in a village. It's the only book in a home. And it's a book that's so important. And as they begin to read it, they find that through reading this scripture, they can come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So often we take these things for granted, having our own book, but more than that, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, this was a great time because we had distributed in about 6 days 200,000 scriptures in that area. As I said, into the schools, colleges, hotels, to nurses, and to various other places where we had the opportunity. We even went into some of the prisons, which were, talking about prison, they were really, really pretty difficult places to be in. Well, as we go about doing our work, I don't know how many of you know about Gideon's. Maybe you've encountered a scripture before in a hotel room, or maybe you have had the opportunity to receive a testament at a school or a college distribution or someplace like that where Gideon's were making distributions. We were up in New York City this year, did over 200,000 scriptures in about a week's time, and went into all the same places again, Manhattan, down over in Queens and Brooklyn and places like that. And in some of those places, in the hotel rooms we went into, we found that in those rooms there were no scriptures. In fact, some of these hotels were not the kind of places where you and I would regularly want to go. They charged for those rooms by the hour. And as you go in, you find that the furniture is plastic, and they don't even have drawers in them at all because people are coming in and going out. And a lot of things are going on in those rooms, and they need to have a reminder that God is still there, God still cares. And we get all kinds of testimonies. In fact, so many testimonies, we don't have time to share them all with you this morning. But one person came into one of these rooms to take his life. And as he was down on the floor and in his condition, he was about to take his life, and he looked up on the table, and there was this Bible, a Bible like this on the table. He reaches over and pulls it down and begins to read it. And God came into his heart, saved his life, and saved his soul. there in just a few minutes of time. And it's because that scripture was placed. Sometimes they won't let us come in. They won't let us place the Word of God. Sometimes they don't want us to interrupt their activities there. But sometimes through prayer and through persistence, we come back again and again. We offer to put God's Word in the hotel rooms, and they allow us to do that. Never know what's going to happen when we place God's Word. In fact, He gives us a promise over in Isaiah 55:11. He says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." You see, as Gideons, we know that if we just get out and place God's word, then He will do the rest. And I want to tell you something. Gideons are in 182 countries around the world today. As a matter of fact, every day we're placing 196,000 scriptures. And that comes down to about 8,000 scriptures per hour, or maybe every second we're placing two scriptures somewhere in the world today. We're very active. God is blessing our ministry in 182 countries, and even more coming. As a matter of fact, Syria just opened up to the Gideon ministry. There are over 50 hotels there, and many of those hotels are internationally owned, and they want Bibles to be placed in the rooms, and we're allowed to come in and place the scriptures there. We're also allowed to go out on the streets and witness there, but you're not allowed to in Saudi Arabia and in Jordan and some of the other places where we have Gideons there doing the work that God has given us to do. Well, the reason I'm here today is just to report back to you, to let you know what God is doing in this ministry. We haven't been here to give a report for some years, but because of our partnership and because we are the arms of the local church, you see, we come back and let you know what God is doing with the ministry, and He is doing so many things. One of the ways that we receive funds to go out and make these distributions is through free will offerings from churches like this. We just ask for donations. Now, I know that this church is giving to a lot of different things. You're a giving church, and you know that God will bless your giving. Well, we also have a thing that's called the Living Memorial Bible Program, and back in the back of the church there are cards that we pay for ourselves, because Gideons pay our own expenses. Scripture money never goes to anything but to Scripture with this ministry. And these cards are available to you to give. You might want to place Bibles in memory of deceased loved one or friend. You send the card to that bereaved person, and then you make a donation to the Gideons, and we will place Bibles in memory of that situation. Also, we have an indirect mission card here. You might want to say, "Pastor, thanks for that great sermon that you gave us the other day," and send Bibles in recognition of that particular event. And then finally, thinking of you, someone who is maybe in the hospital or a situation where I'm just thinking of you, been praying for you for a situation or whatever. So this is an opportunity for you to place money to put scriptures somewhere in the world. And we know that God's word will not return unto them void. See, we can operate in faith on this ministry, knowing that God will bless His word every place we place it. And we'll get returns as God does His work. Thank you very much.
And the bill will be at the back of the church. If you have a gift to give for the giving, you may do so at that time.
There's a change. We're going to sing Thy Word from the Renew Hymnal. It's 94 in the Renew Hymnal.
I am a Jesus, Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus. So lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus. So lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. While shepherds kept their watching for silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Oh, tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go, tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. He is born. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like stars before thee, opening to the Son above. Mend the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joys around thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, starry meadow, flashing sea, singing bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Jesus, we rejoice in thee. Jesus, we
can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much.
Thank you.
this morning's scripture comes from Luke 23, verses 33 through 43. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes and casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you are coming into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for the people of God.
Turn our hymnals now to hymn 176. Let's sing one chord.
Sunday school year in the church.
That's when the Sunday school year starts. It used to be, I grew up with a September. First Sunday in September. Because that was the time when school started. And then somewhere we moved the Sunday school year to October the 1st. And then we moved ours to the first Sunday in June, I believe it is, to coincide with when the school year is over. And that's the only church I know that's done that is this local church. I guess we've made our own choice there about the Sunday school year. But as we come to the end of the year, as far as the Christian year, let's think of Jesus being King. One of my preacher friends referred to it as a time when he kind of brought all things together for that year. We find this passage from Luke chapter 23, the crucifixion story. Now, crucifixion time may be a strange way to look at kingship, or the one being crucified being king. Maybe a little strange, is it not? But let's think about it. I hope that we can see Jesus today as... I may need some assistance there. To help us see Jesus as our King, as well as our Savior, or as well as our healer, or as well as the one who guides us through the day. Hopefully, we don't see Jesus as our errand person, though some people might want to use him for that. He really doesn't respond very well to that, to being our errand person, the one that runs our errands for us and jumps at our bidding. But some people look at Jesus that way. Let's look at the opposite end of that, seeing him as King, one that we owe something to, one that is over us. And I hope that this sermon will help us to do that. Where do we get Jesus being King? The New Testament is full of references to Jesus being King. Pilate, as he was kind of sitting in judgment before him, asked him the question, "Are you King of the Jews?" All four Gospels record Pilate asking this question. Matthew chapter 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John chapter 18. And above his head, as he suffered on the cross, a sign was placed. The sign read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And John chapter 19 speaks of Pilate having it placed there. So as bad as we refer to Pilate as, he saw something different about Jesus, I believe. I don't think, though it might have been, I don't think he had that sign placed there as a mockery. I want to believe that Pilate saw in Jesus. I want to believe that Pilate was that good of a guy. He may not have been, but he had the sign made and placed. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Revelation 19, verse 16,
We can read where John saw Jesus in his vision, and on his robe, Jesus' robe, and on his thigh was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At the crucifixion, the repentant sinner recognized that Jesus was King. He said, when you enter your kingdom. Now, I don't know if he was thinking of an earthly kingdom like so many of the people of that day thought of. Most all of them, even the disciples, thought of Jesus having an earthly kingdom. Or if he thought of a heavenly kingdom. Or a kingdom not of this world, as Jesus referred to. Probably thought of the earthly kingdom, that Jesus was going to take over and be king. Or maybe it was just saying, when you enter your kingdom, I want to be there with you. Jesus responded in such a positive way. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. The chief priests, the teachers of the law who were there at the crucifixion, happy that Jesus had been tried and was being crucified, they, in mockery, called him King. Mark 15, Matthew 27. You can find that if you go back and read Mark 15, it's verse 32. Matthew 27, verse 42. Jesus, King, a carpenter's son from Nazareth. Such an unkingly birth? Jesus? King? What were his qualifications? And I call your attention to the book of Colossians. This was Paul, who had certainly not spoken well of Jesus in his early life and as a Pharisee, but spoke so well of him as he wrote to the church at Colossae. And as we read these verses, I think we can see the qualifications that Jesus has to be king. It's Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and following. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So refers to Jesus as having a kingdom. In whom we have redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. And incidentally, I'm reading the Amplified version of the Bible. Verse 15, now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. For it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created and existed through him and by his service, intervention, and in and for him. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that He alone, in everything and in every respect, might occupy the chief place or stand first and be preeminent. For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness should dwell in Him permanently. And God purposed that through Him all things should be completely reconciled back to Himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through Him made peace by means of the blood of His cross. And although you at one time were estranged and alienated from Him, and were of hostile attitudes of mind in your wicked activities, yet now has Christ reconciled you to God in the body of His flesh through death, in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in His presence. Went ahead and read through verse 22. You take these verses, we find that Jesus was there in the beginning. He was God in the flesh. His qualifications to be our King. And then His willingness, though, to be a servant. Back again from the Apostle Paul. Paul had saw Jesus, or had seen Jesus as an enemy. And then he had a conversion experience. He met the Lord on the road to Damascus. And then he saw Jesus in a very different light. So in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, he speaks of Jesus, though being in the form of God, stripped himself so as to assume the guise of a servant, in that he became like men and was born a human being. So he was God. He became a human being. And then, being willing to humble himself, even to death on the cross, God exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name. His qualifications, his willingness to be a servant, and his willingness to be a servant, God lifted him up or exalted him. And now, to our passage this morning. Let's look at the kind of King that Jesus is. Forgiving. A forgiving King. Kings were not known for their forgiving spirit in Jesus' day or in any day. Think about the kings that you have known about. And think about the Herods. And then think about the emperors. Higher than a king, the Roman emperors. Actually, they were kings of Rome, and Rome was in power throughout the known world. So they were basically kings, so they were called emperors. But Jesus was a different kind of king. A forgiving king. In verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But that's not the only experience we find Jesus being a forgiving person or forgiving God. The woman caught in the adultery, he said to her, neither do I condemn you. To Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. It says, today salvation has come to your house. A sinful woman who came to anoint his feet and use her hair to rub his feet or to dry his feet at Simon's house. He offered her forgiveness. And the Apostle Peter, the one who
denied even knowing him after proclaiming his allegiance. And Jesus restored him. Not only was he a forgiving king, he was a welcoming king. And I just look at what he said to that thief on the cross, that repentant thief. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. He welcomed him into his heavenly kingdom. And then I see Jesus as being a king who had a great concern for others, not to build up the treasure of his kingdom, but to build people. John chapter 19, we find the account of him hanging on the cross. And he looked and he saw his mom. And he saw the disciple whom he loved. And he even took time there in his dying moments to express this concern for his mother. Musicians, if you will come. One might describe Jesus becoming and being our King thusly, a good King, Jesus, rescues us from a bad king, Satan, and us serving him out of our appreciation for what he has done, is doing, and will do. This kind of king, who would not want to serve him? And let us remember, it all started, or it all, he came into his kingship, maybe it's a better way to put it, at Calvary. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lord God, thank you that you are King of creation. And thank you, Lord, that you're our King. And we thank you this morning that you become King to those who trust you. And we thank you for organizations like the Gideons that place your word, that people can read about your Son Jesus being King. Lord God, our Father, thank you. Precious Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, so live in us that we will always serve Jesus as King. Stand together with me and let's sing together 175, verse 4 and 5. The name of the song is Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Jesus' name.